Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 19 and read through verse 34, which is the end of the chapter. Remember that this comes in the midst of a larger message, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching his disciples. This is God's word. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There is a lot of material here, and we're not going to be able to go in depth on all of it, but I do want us to see that the first part is the basis for the second part. Look in verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry." There's an old statement that whenever you are studying the Bible and you see the word therefore, you should ask yourself, what is the therefore, therefore? And the answer is, when it says therefore, it's saying, in light of what has just been said, now here's the conclusion, or here's the application. And so when you look at this passage, what Jesus is going to say in verses 25 and following are built on what Jesus has said in verses 19 through 24. That's why we're going to try and look at all of this together, even though it's a big assignment. First of all, beginning in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What do you treasure? I want you to understand that what Jesus says in this entire section, including what he says about worry, is not advice. See, a lot of folks read this and, well, isn't that nice? Jesus says we shouldn't worry. That's good advice. I think we ought to have a positive outlook, you know, and just not worry. That's not advice. Jesus is Lord, and these are stated as commands. The first commandment in this section is, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. The next command is, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's not just that you shouldn't be collecting and hoarding stuff here. It's that you should be giving generously in order to prepare treasures in heaven. How do you store up treasures in heaven? You give. You give. The stuff you hang on to, you will lose. The stuff you give is an investment for eternity. You mean I'm going to get my sofa back when I get to heaven? No. I mean, if you invest the riches God gives you in blessing others, you'll be rewarded by God. That's God's promise in the Old and the New Testament. Give to those who are genuinely in need. And by the way, remember what Jesus said in the preceding passage about when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Don't make a show of it. But if you will quietly invest generously in the lives of those who are in need, God promises that he will repay you. And God always keeps his promises. So, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't be a collector of stuff you're not using and that's just there to dazzle the eye. Instead, Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Be careful what you hold on to. And then he says, be careful what you look at. Your eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, you're going to be full of darkness. Look at Psalm 101. Verses 3 through 4. Don't lose your place in Matthew 6. But Psalm 101, verses 3 through 4. The psalmist says, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. Men of perverse heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with evil. My wife and I watched a wonderful movie last night about the life of Winston Churchill, a particular period in his life that has not really been publicized widely, when he was serving for the second time as prime minister, and he had a massive stroke, nearly died, and it was kept secret from the British people. And now the story's been told, it's documented, and they made it into a very nice movie. Just a very well-produced movie with great acting, great direction that made you feel as if you were there back in 1953. It was wonderful. But somehow, our entertainment industry today seems to want us to believe that you can't really have a good film without a lot of nudity and immorality and bad language, because that's just realism. That's not realism. It's a slice of realism, but not everything is like that. Don't kid yourself into thinking that the fact that something does happen in life just means we need to put it up there on the screen and watch it all. Is that clear? Jesus says, be careful what you look at. Because if your eyes are bad, if they're looking at the wrong stuff, you're going to be full of the wrong stuff. Be careful. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity.
My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
And then He says, be careful where your loyalty is. No one, verse 24, can serve 2 masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. Why do we think we're the exception? Why do we think that even though Jesus says that, well, you know, I know it's awkward, I know it's hard, but I think that really must not apply to me. It does too. Yes, it does. None of us is able to serve 2 masters. Over 90% of the people who have come to work at the ranch have not asked us how much money they were going to make until after they accepted the job. Why? Because that's the last thing on their mind. They're just not particularly interested. Why are they not interested? They're all just rich as Croesus? No. But they know that their job in life is to follow Jesus, to do what He says, to go where He sends. And so it's not about how much money am I going to make. It's about, is this God's will for me? And if this is God's will for me, God will take care of me. I remember during our years on Cape Cod, my wife and I came to the realization that we were going to be $1,000 short. And so we prayed together. The Lord would send us $1,000. That day, a fellow in Tennessee that we'd met one time a couple of years earlier was having his devotions, and the Lord said, you need to send $1,000 to Jim Wood on Cape Cod. Well, his wife was having devotions in another room, and the Lord said to her, you need to send $1,000 to Jim Wood on Cape Cod. So they talked with each other after devotions, and they said, oh, well, I got the same message. Well, so does that mean we need to send 1,000 or that each of us needs to send 1,000? We better go ahead and send 2. So they sent $2,000 instead of $1,000. And it turned out that my wife and I had messed up on our math calculations, and we didn't need 1,000, we needed 2. Here we prayed for 1, and God's like, well, that's sweet, but you need 2. So He sent us 2, okay? I love God. He's so neat. He knew exactly what we needed before we did, and He took care of it. Let me just tell you something, folks. God knows what you need. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the flowers. You think He can't take care of you? Do you think you aren't as important to Him as the birds and the flowers? So Jesus says, don't serve money. Serve Him. If you will serve the Lord, God will take care of you. He will. That's not theory. That's fact. God will take care of you. Well, doesn't God ever put us in a situation where we have needs so that we can maybe, reach out to the body of Christ and say, help, I have a need? Yeah, sometimes He does that because that's what we need, is to be in a situation where we have to depend on others. But God will meet the need every time. God will meet the need every time. But I want you to understand something here. You can't serve God and money. So serve God. Don't serve money. Don't let money be the thing that makes your decisions. Well, I know I feel this real calling from God to do this, but I don't know how I'd afford it. You can't afford not to obey God. When I told my kids that we were leaving the church in Atlanta with a staff of 19 people, I think it was, in order to come up here where it was raw land and no staff, one of my sons, who's now a lawyer, said, well, how much are they going to pay you? I said, there's no promise of a paycheck. And he said, well, I don't even think that's biblical. What does that verse say? If a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than a what? And I said, infidel, son. And he said, exactly. Walked out of the room. I think he was like 11. Let me tell you something. I told him that night, and I'm telling you again, the best thing I can possibly do for my family is to obey God. There is no wiser course than to do what God says. Obey Him. Obey Him. He'll take care of you. He will take care of you. It won't always be easy. It won't always be fun. It won't always look smooth. But the smartest financial decision that you can possibly make is to do whatever God tells you. Do whatever He tells you. Be careful where your loyalty is. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. You see, if you're not serving money, you don't have to worry about that stuff. If you're serving the Lord, He will take care of you. Look at the birds of the air. Consider God's faithfulness. Consider God's faithfulness. And can you picture a flower out in the field going, oh, what am I going to wear? Of course not. They just do what God made them to do, and God makes them beautiful. The birds of the air, He feeds them. God takes care of His creation. You are not just His creation. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're His child. You're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will take care of you. And so He says, consider not only God's faithfulness, but consider worry's fruitlessness. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? I mean, it's not like worry does any good. I saw a plaque when I was a teenager. It said, don't tell me worry doesn't help. 9 out of 10 of the things I worry about never happen. That's sarcasm, folks. Okay? It's not really saying that worry helps. It's saying people are always worrying about stuff that turns out never was going to happen anyway. Worry is fruitless. It doesn't accomplish a thing except that it's sin. Sin? Yes, because Jesus isn't giving us just some advice. Jesus is commanding His followers, do not worry. Look at it. Verse 25, do not worry. Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? Verse 31, so do not worry. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry. He eliminates our worries one by one. He tells us we're not to worry about what we're going to eat or drink. We're not going to worry about our clothes. Don't worry about the future. God is in control of the future. Don't worry about it. The goal for us is to simply be obedient to what the Lord says. So, do not worry. And please notice, verse 32, this is a whole new way of life. If you live a life without worry because of your complete devotion to God, you will be totally out of step with your culture. Even tons of people in church won't be able to understand your carefree approach to life. Verse 32, the pagans run after all these things. The pagans are always focused on where are they going to get their next paycheck? How are they going to do this? What are they going to do to protect this? How are they going to save this asset? Wonder if I can acquire this thing. But look at the next phrase. When we're talking about the basic needs, it says your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Isn't that wonderful? He says, you don't have to worry about it because God knows what you need and He will provide it. But then here's another command. He doesn't just say, do not worry. He says, this is what you should focus on. Just as he said, don't store up treasures on earth, but do store up treasures in heaven. Here, having told us, do not worry about this, do not worry about this, do not worry about this. He says, but seek first, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Your focus is to be on doing God's will. God will take care and give you everything else you need. And he doesn't just meet our needs, by the way. God is generous. God is so kind. I have prayed specifically. Some of you asked the other day if I would please tell the purple sneakers story. Obviously not this morning. But, I mean, I could do a whole little book just on shoes God has given me. Do you have a shoe thing? No, I don't think so. But I wanted a pair of Voss hiking boots when I was in college because I was going from a temperate climate to the frigid cold of New England. And I wanted a pair of warm boots. And I found out that Voss hiking boots were a great product. So I priced them. They were, as I recall, $58 at the time, which is about $200 less than they would be today, I think. But these were really good, hand-sewn Voss hiking boots, very well-crafted, very durable, and I wanted them. Not just boots, Voss hiking boots. So I got the price, and then I prayed, and I said, Lord, if you would please provide me with an opportunity to earn this money so I can buy these shoes, I would really, really appreciate it. And I went to the largest employer in our town, and I asked if they had any work during the week between the end of the summer season and when I was to go off to college. And the lady said, well, I can't give you a regular schedule, but if you could pick up some hours at various times on different days, I'll see what I can do. And I said, well, what hours do you have available? She said, let me look. She looked at the work schedule and she blocked out some time for me and she said, well, I could give you this many hours this day, this many hours this day, this many hours this day. And I said, well, how much would that add up to in the course of a week? And she did the math and I said, after taxes, so she did the deductions, and she said, it'd be $58. I just love the way God works. Now, I worked. God didn't drop me a $58 bill, okay? But he gave me the opportunity to work, to earn the money, to buy the boots that I'd asked him for. Now I'm 62 years old, and I'm still telling that story. Because it's one more example of how my Father knows what we need and says, if you'll seek my kingdom and my righteousness, I'll take care of all the other stuff. I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. You understand? We prayed for over 20 years God would give us this land. We didn't know when it was going to happen. I just knew that God had put it in my heart that I was supposed to have a children's home. And God had put it in my wife's heart that she was supposed to have a children's home. And we didn't have any place to have a children's home. But God did. And when it was the right time, God gave us the right place, gave us a multi-million dollar piece of property ready to be developed. I'm just telling you. Jesus says, do not worry. Instead, seek his kingdom, his righteousness. He'll take care of the rest. You got it? He will. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Jesus commands us, do not worry. Instead, store up treasures in heaven. Instead, serve God only. Instead, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Everything else will be given to you. And he's got tomorrow under control also.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.